Celtic will this weekend entertain Hearts at Celtic Park. However, when the boys first won the league, back in season 1892-93, Hearts were not quite so welcome at Celtic Park. This followed the bizarre actions of a Hearts official earlier in the season, when Celtic went to Tynecastle for the second league fixture of the campaign. It was August 1892. Ahead of the Celts' visit to Edinburgh, the pre-match newspaper build-up reflected a sense of excitement and anticipation. The Scottish referee described an enormous amount of interest and said that Hearts expected there to be a record attendance for a game in Edinburgh. The Edinburgh Evening News agreed by saying that great interest is being manifested in the event by many people to whom, not so long ago, football was little more than a name. The publication also warned fans that they should go early, for if impressions prove in any way reliable, the crowd will be large and eager. Hearts were in a confident mood. The Scottish Sport wrote that, in Edinburgh, they have agreed amongst themselves that Hearts are going to win, so we will restrict all gossip to a question of goals. The match was scheduled for 4 p.m, and it had the same pricing as Celtic Park. 6 pence entry for the terracing, and 1 shilling for a seat in the stands. It was to be refereed by Mr. Allison of St. Mirren, who was described in the Scottish Referee as the Knight of the Whistle, while Celtic's Paddy Gallagher and Hearts' Curly Fraser were the umpires, or linesmen. This was in the days before independent referees and linesmen were provided by the Scottish FA. Instead, a neutral team would provide the referee, and the home and away side would each give a linesman. Celtic's team for the game showed signs of growing strength, although was still missing many of the club's key players. Gerry Reynolds was absent due to illness, whilst Jimmy Blessington still did not have permission to play in Celtic's league games. The Celts had 4 players featuring in the league for the first time this season: Willie Maley, Johnny Coleman, Sandy McMahon and Tom Dunbar. Johnny Madden, who had scored in the previous season's Tynecastle trip, was also in the team. Pre-match expectations of a huge crowd proved to be accurate, as the terraces were full. Newspapers disagreed on the exact attendance. The Scotsman estimated 16,000, while the Glasgow Herald said around 20,000. A large number of these fans were there to support the Celts. A public holiday in Glasgow had allowed more people to travel from the west, although many of Edinburgh's Irish also went there backing. All of those present watched as Hearts won the coin toss and chose to play with the wind at their backs. In spite of this disadvantage, Celtic started as the brighter of the two, and with only 1 minute had taken the lead. A good passing combination between Campbell, Madden and McMahon was finished off by Paddy Gallagher. This goal spurred Hearts into better efforts, and they had numerous chances before Waterston got the equaliser. As the game progressed, both teams complained about the referee. Hearts said that he missed a clear handball by a Celtic defender, whilst the boys were angry about a blatant trip on McMahon going unpunished. The Celts' defenders were doing well to repel further home attacks. One newspaper described them as having a sturdy and strong defence led by Dan Doyle and his mates. And at half-time, the game remained tied. When the second half started, it was said that hostilities were resumed and Hearts soon celebrated. A shot from Baird, which some reports suggested Joe Cullen and Celtic's goal should have stopped, gave Hearts an early lead. Shortly after this, a second goal from Waterston put the home men well in front, and in fact the same player was unlucky not to complete his hat-trick when he smashed another strike off the post. Celtic were having no luck. Several journalists suggested they were the better team in the second half, but they crafted few clear chances and couldn't turn round the deficit. Hearts secured a Tynecastle triumph for the second season in a row, and Celtic again dropped points in Edinburgh. However, unbeknownst to the Celtic players, the boys' opening goal had in fact led to a huge furore in the Tynecastle stands between the Hearts and Celtic committees. Celtic's representatives had naturally cheered and applauded the goal by their team, but Hearts' match secretary took exception to this. He ordered them to leave the pavilion for their celebrations, and when they didn't do so, he called on the police to remove them. As a consequence, after the game, Celtic refused to accept any of Hearts' hospitality, and in fact the boys later received an official letter of apology from the Edinburgh club for the affair. The Celts did have the last laugh though. not least because by May of the following year, they were the champions for the first ever time. Hearts also faced problems when they came to Celtic Park for the other game in November 1892, as well as receiving a thumping 5-0 defeat, which was in fact Celtic's first ever clean sheet at the current Celtic Park location. For some strange reason, some Hearts officials found they couldn't access the pavilion when they arrived in Glasgow. This was, of course, simply a big misunderstanding, and in no way some Celts getting their revenge for earlier Edinburgh events. To learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter X. You can also find out the full story of Celtic's first league title by buying the book The Bold Boys, Glory to Their Name by Matthew Mann. It's available now online from Celtic Star Books or in the Celtic Shop.